Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yes, we're going to talk with Annette Prince, the director of the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors Migratory Bird Conservation Project. They might need your help if this is your kind of thing. Hang on to that other clip, Andrew. We'll share that. We've got a clip about eating Snickers with a knife and a fork, Steve. That's coming up. But thank you so much for joining us, Annette. So you're an all-volunteer organization?
That's correct. We are a 501c3 volunteer organization that's celebrating our 20th anniversary this year.
Oh, that's awesome. And we know you mostly from the Falcons here in the city and saving them and trying to keep them safe and encouraging people, buildings, to turn out the lights. But migration is underway right now. We continue to get pictures every day about the Sandhill Cranes. I'm seeing the Great White Pelicans down on the Illinois and Mississippi River. So tell us what we have to look forward to, and is it true there's a hummingbird migration going through?
Well, this is one of the most exciting events we get to witness in Chicago every year. Millions of birds are going to travel through our area. We have one of the highest concentration of migrating birds in North America. More than 200 different kinds of birds travel through our region. And yet, like you said, thousands of sandhill cranes are moving through. And what we have are birds that arrive in stages, often kind of in conjunction with the food that they're is available for them. So we're getting birds that are showing up now that they can handle the early spring conditions and being able to find food. If a bird moves into an area where it can't find food, they're not going to be able to survive very well. So right now we are getting reports of certainly of collision injured birds like red-winged blackbirds. We're getting a lot of those. The pelicans that you mentioned, and the sandhill cranes, fortunately, are birds that are more of a daytime migrant that don't very often come into close encounters with buildings. We're also getting American woodcocks, which are one of the first birds to arrive in the springtime. And then as the spring progresses and different things, flowers come into bloom, birds like hummingbirds are going to show up at the times of year when they can find their food source, which would be the blooming plants in this area. Right now, hummingbirds are probably arriving on coastal areas in the Gulf, in Texas, Louisiana. Those little birds are crossing the whole Gulf of Mexico in one flight. They go 500 miles in 20 straight hours and land on the coastal areas in the southern United States before they make their way up to us at a time when, again, flowers are blooming and they're ready to find the food they need to survive.
Are we safe from avian flu now? Can we put bird feeders out? What do you suggest people do if they want to aid in this migration, if they have any of these migratory birds that decide to plop down in their yard?
Well, certainly putting out food sources for birds can benefit them, especially if weather conditions are bad and they aren't finding the food sources they need. As far as avian flu goes, we're most often finding birds that have this are those that live in large groups. They're more susceptible to spreading the infection, things like flocks of chickens, geese, ducks, gulls, cormorants, any other bird that might feed on those birds. Those aren't typically what you get in your backyard. So I find typically a migrating bird that has had the strength to fly 100 miles overnight and to arrive in our yards or in the city is not likely to have been a bird that was sick. Birds that become ill with bird flu usually die rapidly in 24 hours, and we're finding them among a lot of, like I said, the birds that live in large groups. So I think that feeders and smaller migratory birds that are passing through are less likely, in my opinion, to be ones that we're worrying about. But people should always, be cautious in their handling of any kind of a bird. They can certainly call us if they see a dead or injured bird. We have our helpline. It's 773-988-1867 if people have a question about a bird they find. We take all of our dead birds to the Field Museum for research and study, and we take the injured birds to Willowbrook Wildlife Center where they hopefully get a chance to recover and a chance to be released back out into the wild.
I just want to go back to the magic you talked about there. The hummingbirds fly across the entire Gulf of Mexico, 20 hours straight, 500 miles without the benefit of sitting down at all.
Exactly. Can you imagine? It's a bird that weighs about 3 grams, which is about the weight of a penny. And on their own, with their own strength, they often increase their body weight by about 40% before they take off. So they bulk up. And then they fly. They could come up from Central America through the land route in Mexico, but they choose to fly straight across the water in the Gulf, which is a very treacherous journey for them because, as you said, they can't stop. They sometimes could find an oil rig or two to land on if they have to. But otherwise, they are making an incredible trip across the Gulf Coast in the spring migration in their rush to get up to their breeding ground.
It's crazy. It's just crazy that they survive and what they go through. People are asking when hummingbird feeders should go up or oriole feeders. Basically, an oriole feeder to me is a half of an orange, but whatever.
Well, I would think that the end of April is when those type of birds are showing up, end of April, early May. Like, again, when we start getting blooming plants around, those birds are coming around and around that time of year. That would be the best for providing supplements to welcome these birds through, because we want to see them have safe passages. And Chicago's done a great job of reducing lighting because that attracts birds that fly at night and brings them toward glass buildings. And we're getting more and more buildings and communities that are making the glass in their buildings safer by protecting that with patterns and other ways that birds will avoid the glass and not have the fatal collisions that we unfortunately encounter in large numbers.
Annette Prince is the director of the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And I saw on your website you have some training sessions coming up for people who might want to participate and donate time in either tracking these birds or helping rescue them. Why don't you tell everyone about that?
Yes, that's definitely something we need, as many boots on the ground as we can. We go out in teams looking for birds. We need people to help us respond to calls about birds that are in trouble. We have our training sessions on our webpage, which is birdmonitors.net. We have over 200 volunteers that do everything from transporting birds. If we need to get a bird picked up and gotten to a wildlife center, we need people to go out and look for the birds, help capture the injured ones, and archive and document the fatalities. So we can never have enough people, because we can always go to more places throughout the Chicago region to help birds. And we would love to have people join us. Please check out our webpage and find a way to help us. You can support us with donations as well. We are not funded by any organization. We rely completely on donations from the public. And as I said, we're excited to be celebrating our 20th year and thousands and thousands of birds that we've been able to rescue and protect.
Thank you for what you do. I think that there might be a few people listening who might want to join your volunteer corps. So we appreciate you, Annette.
It's a great activity, so rewarding. I encourage everyone to look us up. I'm happy to have them. Thanks so much for having us on the show today.